Resource Network.
Welcome to the Resource Network. I'm Deborah Davis, your host and the director of the Cincinnati Minority Business Assistance Center. The Resource Network will provide you with information to help launch your business and grow your business. Tune in every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on WCVG 1320 a.m. to learn more about the business resources in your area. The Resource Network, helping you to scale.
Good morning and welcome to the Resource Network. I'm Deborah Davis, Regional Director of the Minority Business Assistance Center at the African American Chamber of Commerce. Joining me today is Dr. J.C. Baker, founder and CEO of J.C. Baker & Associates, a business consulting firm providing management strategy, leadership guidance, training, and innovation strategy for multinational organizations, mid-sized businesses, educational institutions, sports franchises, and public sector organizations. Dr. J.C. Baker is a doctor of business administration and organizational leadership, as well as a certified professional in financial services. His doctorate and MBA are from North Central University in California, and his BA in history hails from the University of Cincinnati. Thank you so much, Dr. J.C. Baker, for joining us today to talk about COVID-19 and the impact of COVID-19 on businesses and strategies that you recommend for businesses in this pandemic environment that we're in. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Ms. Davis. My pleasure.
Well, let's get started. We want to know about strategies. What strategies would you recommend for businesses to better navigate in COVID-19?
Well, when you talk about strategies, you're actually looking at it from a multifaceted approach. And one of it is, how do you just get through the day-to-day, the tangible aspects that you're suffering from because of this novel pandemic? And a lot of that is kind of known. We've got everything from SBA loans out here that are available for businesses and nonprofits. You also have paycheck protection programs. And I know that that information has been floating out there. I know that there's been unemployment solutions for companies that have employees to where maybe they can take unemployment, then come back and rehire them later. There's a host of those factors. But what we like to focus in on is really the mindset, not so much about what can I do right now to make sure that these doors remain open, but how do I look at my business? How do I look at my industry to where not only will I make it through here, but actually be able to thrive past this point and to be certain about how I look at these aspects in the future so that no matter what happens, I'm prepared for it for my business.
Okay, so what aspects are we talking about? Can you be specific as far as what is it that J.C. Baker & Associates does as it relates to working with businesses, and how can business owners apply that in this environment? That's what we want to know. I know you want to take businesses from where they are right now, but how do you move them through this very confusing, unpredictable environment of COVID-19 and provide them with strategies they can use right now, things that they can do right now to better position themselves and their business, to maybe hold on to their business and to exist after COVID-19?
Absolutely. And so I like the way that you position that question, because the way that I answered originally was sectioning the mind out with two different realities. So when you talk about what can you do now, every industry has something that is primarily or directly something that they offer to the people. And that part has been disrupted, but there's always something else that's an unaware of or uninitiated side effect that would allow you to be able to capitalize on a new opportunity. And I'm going to explain that in detail with specifics here in a moment. But you asked me about what is it that we do, and you guys will understand my positioning once you understand our operation. We're a business hospital in which most people have never heard that term before. But you come to us in order to make your business healthier. I have about 20 different practitioners that assist me with being able to offer solutions to business owners, no matter if it's commercialization, legalization, formulation, strategy. We talk about it and call it the four I's, the letter I, which is information, innovation, ideation, and imagination. And so we bring those four things to business owners to help them see their world a little bit better. So one thing that we always hear from businesses, whether it was during the pandemic or right now or before it, is that how do I get to more clients or how do I make more money? And so right now, money is the only thing in people's minds. And so when you look at your business that way, what happens is it gives you a very narrow view of what you should or should not be doing. So the first thing that you mentioned was, what can you tangibly do now? Well, the first thing is take advantage of every single one of the governmental programs that exist out here to make sure that you can get your hands on dollars that will allow you to be sustainable in this time frame. And so, you know, the African American Chamber, the regional chamber, all the chambers around here have been providing excellent information and resources on how to get that done. However, what I would like to talk about are these ancillary ways that companies can grow. So with that, I want to give one example of large companies that has been forced to do that during this time. When you look at companies that typically produce products of a sort, they have now decided that, well, my main focus might have been this one type of product, but now there's an opportunity for me to offer a different product. I'll give an example of a company that we own called Graduate. We mainly offer apparel and promotional products, but now we're specializing in PPE, so personal protective equipment. And so now we have access to millions and millions of face masks, forehead thermometers, hand sanitizer. Those are things that we now offer as a supplier to be able to offer, number one, to the masses, but also to business as well. That was not an offering that we had, not even in January, but we had to pivot. We had to be able to see what was coming down the pike and then position our company to be able to perform in that manner. You also had the reality that meetings would go face to face, and now these meetings are virtual. So what does that then mean for your operation? That means that if you would have paid attention to technological trends, you'd be able to adjust and then offer your services in a way that will meet the new demand amid the crisis. And so therefore, when we're talking about businesses, how are you looking at your business right now in the crisis and saying, okay, I offer one thing, how can I offer something else? And so that allows you to be able to have an opportunity to thrive in this environment as opposed to failing or being able to close your doors in that environment. Unfortunately, that's not a skill that most business owners take the time to develop or have been trained to do.
Right. So you talk about pivoting and you talk about, and I hear you talk about opportunities, like the opportunity gaps. You know, where is it that the opportunity exists now that may be different, like you said, that existed in the past because we are in a different environment. So, and as you said, a lot of companies are not in a position right now or where they can take advantage of some of these opportunities because of the technological advancements that they have not implemented within their own business. So I do agree with you that we need to look at those opportunities. But then if you're not technologically savvy, or you don't have a website, or you're not Zooming or creating webinars, what can you advise those businesses? Because the MBAC program, Minority Business Assistance Center program, we work with small business owners, and a lot of them don't have this technological ability right now. So what is your advice to them? Let's start with the small business owners. What are you telling them that right now they should be doing, or how can they take advantage of some of these opportunities to pivot?
Absolutely.
And to provide?
Because
Go ahead, Dr. Baker.
Yeah, what I was saying is that small businesses, actually, we want to reclassify them because small business can be up to $50 million. And so I know you're not talking to them. You're talking about these micro businesses or these boutique businesses that maybe have one employee, maybe two, maybe doing $100,000 or less in revenue. And so, you know, this is their job. They created a business to where that business is really their job, and it's really putting them out of work. Is that correct?
Right. Correct.
So with those types of businesses, Now we have to look at your offering. So if you are a florist, for an example, you're a really small florist, maybe it's you and maybe it's two other family members, and you've made your livelihood on the fact that people in your community knew to come to you based on events, based on holidays, and so now you don't have that foot traffic anymore. And now that becomes a problem, and you say, well, I've made my livelihood in the corner of, you know, Mount Healthy for the last 10 years, and now all of a sudden, I can't do that anymore. You know, what is the advice for them? Well, number one, and I know that I may sound like a broken record here, but those initial government programs with the SBA, with the Paycheck Protection Plan, those things are available and they would have to be filled out. Sometimes it might feel complicated. There are backups in those systems and it may take some time, but those are resources that are available right here at this moment. Next, it's about understanding the mentality of people. You say, okay, what do you mean the mentality of people? Well, we use the floors for an example. We have a scenario where birthdays have been missed. Celebrations of childbirth have been missed. Funerals have been missed. All of these things have been missed due to the shutdown and the quarantine guidelines that's been placed upon us. Well, what does that mean come May? What does that mean come June? Well, if you can tread water in April with some of the governmental programs, and hopefully there would have been some runway of capital that maybe you had in a savings, or maybe there's some credit that's still available to you. Now what you have to do is stay in front of your clientele base, go back to your data, hopefully that you were able to take some data, meaning who are your customer base? Are you sending them emails, or are you sending them letters, or do you have a contact number? And you're staying in front of these people to where you can program to them at a much higher level once May gets here, once June gets here, once it's lifted, so therefore you can recoup. But not only that, start looking for ways to integrate the new technology come third quarter, come fourth quarter, because we would have to assume that this isn't the only type of downturn that we may face. We had the economic downturn in 2008, and companies were not ready for that during that time. There's always something that happens cyclically that, as a business owner, you should already be preparing yourself to say, okay, in the event that these things happen, it doesn't have to be a health crisis, it could be any crisis, how am I positioned to still communicate with my clientele base, keep my market share, and make sure that they know that I still have an offering for them even in that time? So once this is lifted, celebrations will go back forward, events will still go forward, and you want that florist shop to be able to capitalize off of that.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but there have been a lot of changes with the SBA. Just with the SBA disaster grant, I just found out recently that that $10,000 grant that was supposed to go out to people within 3 days, number one, hasn't happened. And number two, that $10,000 grant has now turned into $1,000 depending on the number of employees you have. So there are companies out there who are like the micro businesses or the boutiques or the sole entrepreneurs that are not going to be able to get that $10,000 because they only have one employee. So they've recently changed the guidelines on that, just as if within the last 48 hours. So I agree with you that they need to reach out and take advantage of every opportunity. Verizon and Lyft has a grant. You know, Kiva, the Impact Program is a Kiva trustee. That they've increased their money from $10,000 to $15,000 for individuals who want to go that route, crowdfunding route. But I agree with that. Agree with you that they should take advantage of those opportunities or financial opportunities that are available for them through the government. But they also need to be aware that they are constantly changing every day. And what we thought they were going to get, they are no longer going to get. And so people really need to reach out to the African American Chamber and the Impact Program to find out exactly what is going on with that. But I just want to give an example of a small business called Jeff Kewen in Walnut Hills, who took this opportunity, like you said, and took the lessons that he learned to improve his processes within his restaurant business. So what he did was he looked at his takeout, and he improved the processes for his takeout system. He retrained his staff. And now he says his business is booming. They are financially, they are making money during this COVID-19. So I think this is a good example of what you were saying, is looking at where you are now as a business owner figuring out what you can do to improve the systems, because now you're being forced to be more of a takeout versus a dine-in restaurant, and to implement those processes and procedures to improve the business environment. And that's one of the things that they did at Jeff Kuen. And I just wanted to share that with you and the listeners as a perfect example of what you were talking about earlier, about looking at where you are now and looking at what those opportunities are to figure out how you can improve them. So let's talk about moving forward.
Go ahead. I think that example you just gave is fantastic. And I want to spend some time with that example, is that when you asked us originally, okay, what do? We would have looked at that company in the event that either we were hired by them or they were taking advantage of our free disaster relief services, which once again, we are offering that. If you need help with disaster relief services, just go to our website, jcbaker.org. You'd be able to see that memo right on the front page, and then you put in a lead and we'll be able to call you back. But the point is, we would look at that company and we would look at everything that they've ever done and what they attempted to implement now. And then we would show them a new world of things that are right at their fingertips that maybe they had never considered or they did not think was in their wheelhouse. And I think that the example you gave was them doing what we call as metacognition, which is the science of thinking about what you think about. They actually had to intentionally and deliberately think about their offering in a way that they had not seen it before, and then said, if we do these things, what is the likelihood that we would be able to capitalize on that? And so for every company and every industry, that's going to be different. And that's a critical skill that I'm also reminding everyone is not something that's been developed in people. We're not trained to do that traditionally. And so it's very hard to be able to come up with that, especially when there's a crisis. A crisis is the hardest time to think about something. When you're under stress, it makes it very complicated to be able to see which way you should go, what's the best direction, how do I even determine if this is a good decision or a bad decision? With all of these things, we provide guidance in that realm. So if I use another example, I have a training facility here locally that is one of our clients, and we have changed their offering because they are a specialist. What they offer, no one else offers this. So what we did was we changed them from having that offering into their facility itself, to being able to move all of that through a technology base. And now they've been able to grow nationally with their new programming. And it took us all of about 8 days to implement it. But they too are still generating income with a new model and a new revenue channel that was not previously enjoyed. And so with that, it's very hard for us in this segment to be able to say, what does that look like for every single company? But the point is, those realities are there. Those opportunities are within your grasp. But it does take a trained eye and it takes a consciousness to be able to say, look, I know I typically operate this way, but what new thing has happened that I now can take advantage of?
Right. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. So it's looking at the environment, from what I hear you saying, that you currently find yourself in. What is my current state of being? And then looking at that and saying, acknowledging, okay, this is not how I usually have done business, but given the state of the environment that we're in, we have to be agile and we have to be flexible in order to make that change, in order to be sustainable, not just now, but in the future. So your business works with companies in doing that. And you provide that support for companies that do that. So can you give us an example of, I know you talked about a training company that you're working with. Is there another example that you can give, maybe in another industry, so that the listeners can say, aha, this is something that I can do, I can relate to that?
Absolutely. Well, in this case, we actually have another client of ours that offers a service, but they also have products. And the products was always the secondary portion of their business. So if you can imagine, when you go into their establishment, you would go in to have a service done. And obviously, I don't want to let my client be known or their secret sauce be known, but you would go in and get this service. And when you're getting that service, you would also may see a product and say, I like that product, and you may purchase that product. Well, what we've done for them is that we changed their business model to put it around that product. And we were able to do that because we have the connectivity nationwide. Once again, one of the companies I own is a major supplier. I actually have an office in the Philippines, and so we have people on the ground out in the Philippines that help us with all levels of manufacturing and distribution. And so because inside of my supply chain, we said we could just make your product the number one thing, and then we can move that through e-commerce. And then how we do that, we grow your brand so that once the ban is lifted, you can go back to offering your primary service again. But because they were unaware of how to be able to increase their supply chain, that would have never been in their wheelhouse to think about that reality. And that was a solution that we brought to them.
All right. That sounds great. And I'm just thinking, because I know a lot of clients that we have at the African American Chamber and the Minority Business Assistance Center, we have a lot of people that are in the daycare business, the hair salon, barbershops, and things of that nature. And I, you know, I had a client who's owned a salon, and she was looking at, well, how do I take this environment that I'm in and make it beneficial? So doing videos, YouTube videos, and showing people, women, how to take care of their hair at home, you know, what products to use and things of that nature. And then daycare, you know, maybe, you know, looking at having a YouTube video where they have a story time or, you know, some kind of educational Mr. Rogers component or something associated, so people, you know, are able to still provide that type of educational element for their children that are at home. So I think that what you're doing is fantastic, and you work with all business structures and all industries from what it sounds like. Is that correct?
That is correct. We are industry agnostic, and for anybody that's listening, the best way that I can explain our offering is no different than when you go to your primary care physician or when you go into a hospital and you need service, you need care. We look at your business holistically, and then we provide that care. So if you were to say, well, you know, once again, I'm in the beauty salon space, that's fine. We still understand traditional business practices around there. You just need to be really good at doing hair. Well, you might also say, well, I'm in the apparel line. That's fine. You just need to understand fabrics and threads. We understand everything else to be able to make your business healthier. And so that goes on and on and on. The industry is irrelevant. What we tend to find, and especially during a time like this, and this might sound a little negative, and I don't want it to be, I actually want to offer it as a challenge, but that we have to be more than just really good at cutting hair. Like, you have to understand your business, and you have to understand what things connect to that business. One thing that we talk about with all of our clients is the concept of substitutes and complements. Most people don't understand or have thought about substitutes and complements, but I'll give you a great example, is that if you were an automotive dealership and you wanted to sell more SUVs, the price of gas will determine how many SUVs you sell. If gas is low, SUVs get purchased. If gas is high, smaller cars are purchased. Those are substitutes and complements there, and there's many businesses and elements that attach to your particular business. And if you don't understand what those trends are, those substitutes and complements, it'll be very difficult for you to exist or sustain during times of crisis. So therefore, if you are in your business and you're just focused in on, you know, I make, you know, cupcakes and all, I'm really good at cupcakes. Well, we're going to have to really think about your entire business structure to make sure that nothing can derail your business and you have the ability and fluidity to be able to adjust.
Okay, so as far as your triaging, to go back to your hospital analogy, how would you triage a business? If I came to you, I'm a business owner, and maybe I am selling cupcakes, and that's what I'm good at, and I'm in this COVID-19 environment, and I'm trying to be flexible and agile, how would you triage? What were some of the steps that you would take a business owner through your triage process?
First thing that we do 100% of the time is we conduct an assessment. And that assessment is free. That was even free before, and it will be after the crisis. So we do the assessment, and in the assessment, we uncover what we believe are issues, and we listen to your articulated issues. From there, we create a diagnosis. That diagnosis is also free. It's always been free. And then we share that diagnosis in detail, and we cover four different aspects in that diagnosis. Most people look at ROI as return on investment, but we also look at return on innovation, return on interaction, and return on implementation. And we look at those different four, we look at those four returns in our diagnostic process. Then in the event that you're in agreement with the diagnostic, from there, there's a prescription that's written. And either you accept that prescription or you don't. And so we use a lot of medical terminology with our work. We provide wellness checks. We provide health score reports. We do financial health analysis. We do a host of things for your business to make sure that you are healthy. Now, during the disaster relief services that we're offering, we're literally providing consulting services to make sure that you can make it out of this epidemic. And so in that, it would behoove you to be able to take advantage of that, because there's no cost to our consultations whatsoever through there. So not only will we give you an assessment and a diagnosis, we're actually going to help you and provide those services surrounding COVID-19. So those are the two ways that we're operating. One is with the disaster relief, and the other is that you're getting at least two opportunities to be able to learn about your business that will cost you nothing. And then from there, you have the right to take the prescription or not.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. Now, what you said a few minutes ago, return on innovation, return on interaction, return on, what was the last one, information? Is that what you said?
Implementation.
Implementation. Okay, I have never heard of that before. I think that is fantastic. Can you give me an example of a return on innovation?
So innovation is just a new way of doing things. Most people kind of see that as technology, but it isn't. You can have process innovation, you can have social innovation, you can have product innovation. And so in that, we're looking at what you offer, what makes what you offer important at all, and then we help you design that a little bit better. So therefore, it gives you an opportunity to get more market share. When you're looking at return on interaction, well, what does that mean to the people, and then how do you plan to be able to force them to engage with you? And a lot of times they don't really understand what that means and how to be able to do that in a very significant manner. And then return on implementation, or what are the steps? What's the execution behind that? What needs to be done to pull off the image that you have in your mind and to be able to connect it with the target audience?
Well, Dr. J.C. Baker, I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been a fabulous show. I think you've really shed a lot of positive light on COVID-19, how to survive it, and how to accept it and deal with it as you are going through it right now. I want to make sure that the listeners talk to you, reach out to you. Is there a website, a phone number where they can contact you right away and start getting some of this viable and necessary information and assistance from your company?
Absolutely. Very simply, jcbaker.org. You can get us that way, or 1-833-JC-BAKER.
Thank you so much, Dr. Baker. Thank you so much for joining us today.
jcbaker.org.
Okay, there you have it. JC Baker and Associates, thank you for joining us today. I'm Deborah Davis, Regional Director of the Minority Business Assistance Center. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you for listening to the Resource Network. If you would like additional information about the subjects we covered today, or if you want information about the Minority Business Assistance Center, a program that provides MBE, EDGE, and VBE certifications, business planning, access to capital, and bonding, as well as business professional training, please call me, Deborah Davis, at 513-751-9900, or visit us at www.mbacsensi.com. Or drop in at the African American Chamber of Commerce, 2303 Gilbert Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio. Program theme music provided by Timeless Recording Studios. Jamil Zion, singer and songwriter, and Chris Turner, producer and chief engineer.